I've never seen anything like him.
Uh-uh. He's
what is he anyhow?
I forget his line. He's one of the God have to tell you.
I bet he's a Rollo bull.
I bet he is.
Because he looks like a Rollo
but
bull.
Of all the bulls we've had out here, he's the handsomest. And he was
when we were down there.
There's no foolishness.
But I had asked him about him breeding the young heifers. If he had any troubles with him breeding the young heifers, and he said he didn't. But it looks like to me, a young heifer having her first calf,
he'd be mighty big.
He'd be mighty big.
Mm-hmm. Well, these heifers are pretty good size for his life. But he's some bull, and he is so smart. Guy can bring him up. He'll leave the herd and come up.
Come up. I don't have the feed with me. He doesn't see it till he gets up here. Of course, he won't do that when he has business.
Can I ask you how much you average on a bull at the September sales when you sell them? Average per bull. I just wonder if I'm not giving mine away sometimes.
Well, the last one brought.
I'd rather save them for the bull sale if I think I can get more money out of them that way.
Hey, you can't. The bull sale?
Uh-huh.
What bull sale?
Any bull sale. Just, take them. They had one here in Gainesville. I believe it was around September, October, somewhere around there.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I don't know about those bull sales. One in Ocala.
They were advertised in the paper. And they had an Angus sale, too.
Yeah.
And, they held it at the arena, livestock arena.
The ones at yes.
Yeah, so
now they don't handle old bulls at Ocala.
No, just the young.
Just the young bull. That's all people buy anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like a young bull. I'd rather buy one that's.
Well, if I was going to one of those bull sales, what would be about the average price that you could expect to buy one?
I haven't been in a year or two, so it's a whole lot of whack. Now, I sold for beef. The last bull I had, I sold him for almost $400.
Mm-hmm.
$375, somewhere along there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you see, I was trying to get something they was taking because I thought he was a good bull. It turned out, I think he wore out. Because my last calf crop was bad.
Uh-huh.
I have a lot of scrawny calves.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, the funniest one was much better than my best one.
Oh, no, it was not. And three or four of the cows hadn't bred. Now, that's the first time that ever happened. And you see, I slipped up on it because in September, when the vet was out here, I didn't have him give him that pregnancy test. And you have to do that. You have to give him that.
You do that? I never had him pregnancy test.
Oh, yes. They haven't got a calf, I sell them.
I never have them tested, but what I do, if they don't have a calf within a year, anyway, I sell them.
Well, it don't cost anything to test, $1
uh-huh.
or something. That's better than...
So there was three cows that I got from Santa Fe River Ranch that was never bred. They were supposed to have been all bred.
Yeah.
And it was at least 12 months before I had a calf out of either out of either of those three calves.
Yeah.
And do you know it's taken one cow 14 months to have another calf. After she dropped that calf, it took her 14 months to have another calf. And around 13, 14, 15 months.
Yeah.
On those three cows, and that's terrible. They should breed back sooner than that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They're nice looking animals, but they're not breeding back the way they should. And it's not the bull's fault. The bull's.
I had there's a fellow over here, Shiloh community, that's got those mixed cows. His worst cows are better than the best I've had. And told you about that. No, he lets the cow wean the calf. So a lot of his calves, you see, they'll be big and still sucking, and right up till the cow calves again.
Oh.
And you see, But he can do that, and I can't, because his pasture is so much better than mine.
Well, you got a lovely pasture out there now.
Well, it looks all right now, but it's not like his.
Well, after November, the hay is usually the first thing to go in the frost, you know. It doesn't stay after cold weather.
Yes.
And then it's so late coming in, but you got a beautiful field of hay out there. And you haven't put any fertilizer on it?
Oh, yeah. It won't grow without fertilizer.
But that last field down there, you said you had fertilized just the spots of it. You didn't fertilize the whole thing, did you? But it's still all beautiful ground. But hey, even that you haven't fertilized.
Yeah.
But there's so much more food value in it if you do.
What is that about? You go to change your way of doing it over at your house.
I'm gonna sell some property, and Martin's gonna come home and stay.
Miss Mary?
Now that's what I heard you say on the telephone.
That's right.
Gonna come home and stay.
He's gonna come home and stay.
And quit all that foolishness.
He's done put in his resignation.
Oh.
Well, the way it is, he's just running all the time.
Just running all the time, and everything's going to pot. And I'm out there by myself, nobody but Miss Dodd, and Miss Dodd has to be gone some of the time, you know, and I'm tired of staying by myself.
How long have you been out there?
He's been out there 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
Mr. Horn and Frisdorn or somebody begged him to stay and said, is anything wrong? And he said, no, not a thing, but I just got to go home. And they told him, we ain't going to give you we're just going to give you a vacation. He says, you can take 6 months or a year. And he says, if it's 5 years and you ever want to come back, your job is open.
Oh, really?
What about that?
And they told him, Dr. Horn told him, said, if it's the pay, said, you're dissatisfied with, said, we're going to get you some more. Marvin says, it's not that. He says, I just got to go home.
Yeah. Well, now, it's been a pretty nice out there. He's associated with all them people out there, and they all know something.
Mm-hmm.
That's been nice, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been nice. It's been nice in one way, and then it's been the devil the other way.
But then he don't have a chance to use anything he picks up. Ain't got time. I thought he made the rounds every night.
No, not now.
That's just in the winter when he's feeding.
We go out once in a while, call them up and give them some pellets and look at them.
Yes.
We got a wonderful calf crop this year.
Oh, really? Well, now, if you sell all that crop to that, you won't have enough grass for them, will you?
Well, the main bulk of my cows don't never eat none of that grass nowhere, only and hay.
Oh.
You gonna buy your hay this year for your cattle?
I'm in hopes that I can raise some this time. We're gonna plant some more clover.
Oh, yes. Well, I had that clover come out last year. It was dry, wasn't it?
It was dry, but didn't hit me.
Sure did.
I never heard you say
it. That stuff grew that high.
Hip high.
And it never did seed out. The only thing about it, Marvin just fooled around and waited till it was too old to cut.
Oh, no.
Yes, he did.
Oh, no. Well, you saved hay off of that.
Yeah, we cut it and we saved it, but it wasn't good.
And we didn't put a dab of fertilizer on it.
How come? I remember the time.
Well, Marvin and I thought that we could go back and fertilize it after it come up, but they told him not to.
You gotta fertilize it before it comes up.
Fertilize it along with the seed.
That's all.
It'll burn it, won't it? Mm-hmm.
If
you fertilize it after.
Oh, yeah, so if we'd have fertilized it, I imagine it would have went right on up.
Good Lord.
It naturally made it. Suzanne seen it.
Oh, did she?
And so did,
Was that Alice Clover?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that grows kind of rank, but the other, there's a type that doesn't get that,
Well, this was Alice Clover.
Yeah. Oh, they do love it.
They sure do.
There's a man, who was that, over in Williston, was selling hay. We ran out of hay. We had to buy a couple of loads of hay for us. And it was a dollar and, 15, I think, a bale?
Mm-hmm.
And then we did.
It was the best hay we have ever seen. I don't know what we put up.
Okay.
Ours is the best. That was pretty good. And it was I don't know, he must have used a sickle bar to cut it with, because it was long, cut long, you know, it wasn't, cut as short as ours was. It wasn't thrashed up like ours is. But this was very long bladed grass. And I don't know what it was. I haven't figured that out yet, what that type of grass could be. It must be Timothy hay, but Timothy doesn't grow down here. Won't grow here. And
Timothy.
That is, Timothy hay sells for about $2.40 a bale.
Oh, they ship that in. Yeah.
Well, that's Canada. The kind that we buy, isn't it?
No.
Uh-uh.
No, you don't buy Timothy.
Tangola or...
No, we didn't buy...
Bermuda.
Coastal.
Coastal Bermuda.
Coastal
Bermuda.
Timothy
is...
Long straight.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me, but where...
That's what I brought up on.
I don't know how in the world that guy could have brought... Well, he couldn't have brought it in, and he couldn't have raised it and sell it for $1.50 a bale. And those are the biggest bales and the best hay. And these cows, just they'll leave the millet right now and go to a bale of that hay.
Oh, really?
$1.15?
Hmm.
And the man said, he said he's raised hay every year. We bought some from him last year, and we looked him up. Hernandez is his name. And we looked him up last year. And bought some. We bought quite a bit from them last year, and then we bought two loads this year and do it until the millet came in.
You know, it's a matter for anybody to drink the liquor before company and don't offer them any.
That's the truth. How about a cup of coffee?
This is breakfast.
That's his old cold breakfast
coffee. Well, I thought it was liquor.
You like iced coffee?
Mango had some liquor over there yesterday. I started to take a drink of it, and it turned out to not be not my beverage.
If you are drinking it, you better not drink it. Is that the gargle?
How long has it been since Leroy has left?
Gargle your throat.
Oh, I hated to miss that.
I don't know. He got married when, Ms. Don?
I can't even remember my...
Isn't that awful?
Let's see.
Now, they had right smart style at that wedding.
Mm-hmm.
That surprised me.
They just had a church wedding.
Yeah. Well, they...
When was it? I can't remember.
Four veils and...
It was in March, wasn't it?
Seems like it was early spring, February. Cause wasn't it kind of chilly yet?
Mm-hmm. Let me see. Leroy wasn't married when he went down to Tampa with us, and that was in March.
Oh yes, I meant to ask you about. You know, that's the first time I'd seen any of Miss Guster's people. Now that's his daughter,
mm-hmm.
and her name's Smith.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, what, I don't guess I know him.
No, I don't think so. He has some people. He was born and raised at Shiloh.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yeah, Glenn Smith, her husband.
Well, I know.
Everett.
I know Everett.
Well, Everett is Glenn's brother.
Why don't tell me?
That's right.
Well, you all sort of kinfolks, aren't you?
No, ain't none of them no kin to me.
Well, I know, but in the family, see. Why, Everett, you know Everett?
Mm-hmm.
You ever hear him carry on?
Mm-hmm.
Why, he's worse than his D's. He never stops. I've heard him over there, been over there. You can't get any word, Miss Diesel.
Glenn and Ellie told me he was going to tear down his old home.
Oh, really?
That's what they said.
I don't know him that well. What does he do, live in the old home place or mm-hmm. something? Oh, yes, I've seen that.
You mean that Mr. Smith is Everett's brother?
That's right. Glenn Smith is Everett's brother.
Glenn Smith. What does Glenn do?
Just piddles about and draw Social Security.
And lives on his income.
That's right.
He probably got a big retirement.
I really don't know.
They pretty well healed, well off?
No, sir.
Just common ordinary?
That's right.
Well, now, her brother, Morris, he was a rich man.
Oh, yeah.
But she's not rich.
Mm-mm. He was pretty industrious. Wasn't
oh,
he?
Yeah.
He got out and did a little something.
He sure did, but he didn't have what he had if his daddy hadn't given it to him.
Hmm.
That's right.
He gave him a start?
Give him a start. He gave him a nice home in Tampa. And then Mr. Guthrie agreed for him to sell it. And he bought Pasco.
Oh.
And then Mr. Guthrie gave him 2 big loads of cows. And then he told people Mr. Guthrie didn't ever help him do nothing. Help him no way.
He done it all himself.
He done it all himself. Jake Murphy from Micanopy is the man that hauled the cows for him. And Marvin.
Yeah.
Down to the farm.
Yeah. Hmm. Things don't always get out straight, do they?
They don't always get out straight. And how many times did Mr. Guthrie send him $100 and $50, $75?
And that's after he's grown.
That's after me and Mr. Guthrie was married. But I stopped that one day.
Has she been up recently, Alex?
Not too long ago, she come up to...
I was over there that Sunday morning when she come. She,
aggravation thing.
Well, now that's hard to stop.
Mr. Guthrie sending any money? Well, I put a stop to it. I sure did. I told him that he wasn't going to take the money and send it down there and me go naked and work like I did, and then when I asked him for a dollar, I couldn't get it.
Oh, you mean all that time he was working around there and butchering cows and things?
Why, Morris stayed up there for all the summers at our house.
Did he do anything?
Well, he gathered magnolia leaves and he butchered. Helped him and Mr. Guthrie butchered and sold beef, sold it, hauled it to O'Carra.
What did they use the magnolia leaves for?
They shipped them to Jacksonville to Dr. Duck's, and he made funeral arrangements out of them and wedding arrangements.
Oh, I do know.
There was good money in it.
For a while.
Yes, sir. Got 4.5 cents a pound and 5 to 5.
A pound.
And them magnolia leaves weigh something. The way they did it, they take these here big coca bags and take some palmetto fans and put in the bottom and then pack the leaves in there and sewed up the site and shipped them.
Well, I do know.
Is it any sale farm now?
You know, I don't know. I reckon not.
I heard Miss Daisy talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it you, both of you talking about it?
Mm-hmm. We have shipped a menu one.
She picked magnolia leaves for Mr. Guthrie.
No, I don't remember that. She might have did.
Well, as I recollected, you was there.
Were they green or dead?
They were green.
Mm-hmm.
And they tear them up there and they put them through a process. And they're just as green as they were when they come off of the tree. They had a machine to wash them. And they make beautiful wreaths.
Yeah.
I never see any wreaths now with them in there, do you? Or have I not noticed them?
I don't know. Well, I think once in a while you see them.
Well, now these woods were full of magnolia trees then.
Mm-hmm.
You could just go help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever miss them, would they?
Mm-hmm. See, the trees would come back out.
How'd they do? Cut off a limb or something?
Just cut off the limbs.
And then they'd come back out.
Mm-hmm. But you had to know there was a certain kind of leaf that you had to get. Now, a leaf that had a brown spot on it,
mm-hmm.
or a hole in it, they didn't want it, or one that was all quarreled up.
Yeah. Well, Morris learned to write smart then up there working with his daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, didn't he get into some machinery?
Oh, yeah, he had a big foundry.
Foundry? Well, how'd he get into that?
Well, he worked a foundry in Tampa.
Oh.
And then he finally got out by himself. He got out. He had him a little foundry on Hillsborough River.
Uh-huh.
I think that was Hillsborough River. And a highway come through there and bought him out. And then he went to Zephyr Hills.
Good Lord. That's where my mother-in-law is.
Yeah.
That's what Merlin was brought up.
He went to Chicago and paid $85,000 for one piece of machinery to go in there.
Now, this is still a foundry?
Yep. Luler still run it full blast.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And she got all the money, more money she never spent.
I don't know. She sold the cows.
Oh, they've had the cows all the time?
Yeah, they got a lot of land at Pasco.
White cows.
Mm-hmm. And she went and sold all the cattle. And they had cows.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
But
they didn't play around with it like some people.
So, the place... Glenn said she rented that to some cowman.
Yeah. So he just draws his Social Security and lives on his income.
Yeah, that's what he does. And probably he'll get out and cut grass for somebody with his lawnmower.
Uh-huh. Well, now, he looked pretty sturdy. Nothing wrong with him. He's sitting over there looking pretty solid on that. I was just over there a few minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He looked pretty solid.
Oh, what?
Pretty healthy.
Well, he's not too healthy.
You know, I think every now and then, I was over at Shirley's one day, and she was threatening to get in touch with this school teacher up there in Hawthorne. To tell her some about the people who lived on the place over there. And I think about that all the time. And she knows every time I see her, she got somebody new that lives on the place.
Yeah.
Do you know about BJ or BF? What's his name?
BF.
Huh?
BF.
Yes. Yeah. You know about BF?
BJ is Berman.
BF. Give her just a little. He come around to see her not long ago.
He lived there on the place?
Yeah.
What's the last name?
Kelly.
Hmm. Don't know any Kelly. Never heard of him.
Well, that's Miss Lim Rutledge's brother.
Rutledge.
Well, now that's the lady you was talking about.
Yeah. No. Yeah. She was Rutledge, wasn't she?
Rutledge.
Mrs. Middleton?
No.
She was a...
Hammond.
Hammond, that's right.
Miss Hammond, was Ernest Fallon's, her mother was Ernest Fallon's sister, Mr. Ernest Fallon's brother. No, sister. Don't get me
wrong. Wait a minute now. Say that one more time.
Miss Hammond.
Miss
Middleton's mother was Mr. Ernest Fallon's sister.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Pauling is the one who lived over there a long time.
That's right. Him and his daughter, Miss Sally.
Yes.
They were living there raising turkeys when I first come to this country.
And they lived and they was there in that big house.
Big two-story house.
Yeah.
That's now just a little bit of the foundation, something left out there.
No, we moved the, there was honed pillows there. I guess it was up underneath the house to hold the house up off the ground.
Yeah.
We took them off to the woods because we were afraid the snakes would crawl in among them and kids would get on.
Yeah.
But it was right there where that plum tree is in the yard.
Yes, and right over in front, outside of your field, old Aunt Martha Mickens lived there, which was Miss Sally's maid.
Oh, I see.
In the cow pasture where butter is?
You know where you carried me and showed me where Mr. Hamilton dug that hole?
Yeah.
Right off from there. I can carry you and
show you. Oh, back in the, yeah, you can tell there's a little house or something. But.
So that was the nicest time when old Uncle, what you call it, Fallon lived there.
Old Uncle Fowl Fallon.
Fowl, yes. And then the Mickens lived there too. That was a nice time. Now that'll take you pretty well back, won't it?
It sure will.
You hadn't been married too long.
Say, I hadn't been, no, sir.
At that time.
They were living there when I was got married.
Yes.
And Mr. and Mrs. Pauling had an old Dodge car, touring car.
She had to drive it.
Mm-hmm. She sure did.
Yeah.
How many was in that family?
You mean the Falfall?
Mm-hmm.
There was Miss Sally and Mr. Ernest Pauling and one more brother that I know of. Henry Pauling.
Her brother or his brother?
His brother.
Mm-hmm. Henry Pauling. And they had children.
That's right.
How many children they have?
You mean Mr.
Pauling?
Well, Mr. Ernest Pauling, he had two girls and three boys. But Mr. Fowl Pauling had Henry and Ernest. And Miss Sally is all I know.
What was Mrs. Beckham before she married? Helen Beckham.
That you lived on the Pauling place?
Yeah.
I don't know, Miss Dodd.
You know of any of the Pauling girls married Beckham?
No, ma'am. Mm-mm.
Tell her about BF. That's something.
You want me to tell it?
Yeah. I wouldn't hear it say.
Huh?
I wouldn't get it straight.
You tell it.
I can't do it.
What
he was over there rapping on her door.
They were living over there, Mr. Rutledge and Ms. Rutledge, in the big house at Paul's place, and B.F. is Ms. Rutledge's brother.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lim run him off. And Ms. Rutledge come over there and got us to keep him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I said, B.F., first time you go off and get drunk, you got to leave here.
Oh, yes, I remember now.
You sure got to leave. He come in one night, way in the night, and he's drunk as a coot. And he went to bed and slept, and the next day he slept. And I had a brand new mattress on the bed that I bought from Cox Furniture Company, and he wee-weed on it.
Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me that long time ago.
And so he just, I didn't say anything about it, but that he stayed in the bed and slept till sometime that evening, and I went out in the field where Marvin, Mr. Guthrie, and James was, and I told him, I said, now, B.F. ain't said nothing to me. He hasn't bothered me no way in the world. But I said, y'all can go to the house and get him out of that bed and get him gone, or else I'm going. Because you don't know who's going to come in here, and you all out at work, and him lying in there in the bed drunk, and somebody will go off and say something about it. Miss Gussman went to the house and told him he had to go. And he said, told Marvin, he said, I wonder why. Marvin said, looks to me like you ought to know. And the other day he told me, he says, I still wet the bed.
Yeah.
You mean that is the last time you know that?
That's right.
Well, I'll be John Brown.
He wanted me and Marvin to go and bring him out there and let him spend the weekend, but he says, I want you to know I still wet the bed. I don't know whether he done that or whether he just throwed it up to me or not. But he caused me to throw away a brand new mattress that I bought from Cox Furniture Company.
So he's not the one that went around selling graveyards or something. He got into, what did he do? He tried to get things going in real estate or what?
Mm-mm.
I got that mixed up.
Must have it mixed up.
What did he do?
B.F. nothing but drink and sit around on his fanny.
Never done anything else?
Oh, he left. He married a widow woman, and the widow woman had a little girl. And she's grown now, and she run him off because she didn't want her husband to feed him.
Yeah.
But Ms. Rutledge told me he's gone from Hawthorne. He went back down where the family is. And I said, you reckon that his wife will... Oh, no. I said, no, that won't never be because her daughter won't allow it.
So he never has turned over a new leaf.
He never has.
It's just that same old leaf.
And he won't ever.
Well, now, but he still lived on Ms. Dodd's place.
Yeah. When we run him off, well, he went right back there.
And he never done any work, probably.
Thanks a lot. Didn't you get him, put him in another direction? Well, there's more skeletons in that place out there than you'll ever know.
I want to know where the cemetery's at.
Yeah, I would too. I'd love to know where it's at.
Yeah.
It's out there somewhere, but where are
on your
all
place.
The markers and everything's gone, evidently.
Yeah.
Marvin says it's inside the field, but I had the opinion it was on the outside.
Years ago, when they put a marker down, did they put cement posts down with a piece of iron sticking out of the center of it?
I'd say if I know.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to dig that thing up one of these days. I want to see what's under it.
Well, now, who
something out there bothers me. I don't know
who have you run into that knows that lived on the place run over.
Oh, well, she's told me. She's the only one that.
And then it's your name.
Yeah. I'm going to get them down and we're going to go over that name by name. See how many of them
remember.
Well,
I'm telling you one thing. I have got a history. The place, the 155 acres I own. Down there across the
street.
Oh, yeah.
Catalog
abstract.
Book.
That is. Yeah. We all look at that.
That place was mortgaged to Ada Caraway that lived with
the kinfolk.
For 50 cents, I believe, or a dollar. I don't remember now. But every bit of it's there, and it was paid off now. Can you imagine that? I bet you.
Mortgage for 50 cents.
A dollar. It sure was. It counts it from the beginning to the end. Who owned it? And right on up to me.
There was a woman bought the old Bryant place there in Buffalo many years ago. They built, they burned the town down for insurance.
Oh, yeah.
But this woman thought she was getting a prize because this was a beautiful home. A great big beautiful stone, what do you call it, the Mexicans and the stucco.
Yeah.
Stucco house. It looked like the adobe style homes. It's a beautiful place. It's still the best place in Bethel.
Oh, really?
And it's an old home. And it's well built. And this woman come along, and there had been a murder in the house. And because of that reason, the people moved out. And for a long time, no one knew where to get in touch with them. And during that time, they didn't have, I think it was during the Depression, they didn't have money to buy. People weren't buying anything. The house just sat there and sat there. And finally, this woman came along. Old Mrs. Payne, she moved here from, I think it was Colorado. She went out to Colorado because she had arthritis so bad, and they told her that she would be better off if she went out there. Well, she got worse, and she came to Florida. And she was in a wheelchair when she came here. And after being here for a few months, she got up out of the wheelchair and started walking again. And the longer she was here, the better she got. So she was looking for a home. Her and her husband were looking for this home, and they found this one out at Bethel. So she bought it. And she didn't know anything about the murders that had been committed in the house. So she'd gotten part of the abstract, I think it was. It hadn't gone back into the history of the abstract. And the house itself had skeletons and everything up in the closets, I mean up in the attic, and they didn't find this till they went up there cleaning, you know, the younger people that they hired to come in to clean the house out, and they found these skeletons. Well, they told the old lady about it, and this made her sort of fidgety. Then she started hearing noises in the house, and this made her all the worse, and she started reading the back history of the place and found out about this murder that occurred in there. And the noises she was hearing was in the very bedroom where the murder was supposed to have occurred. And it wasn't until one of the younger kids wanted to play a joke on her on Halloween, liked to kill the old woman, and hung a skeleton in the closet. And in the deed it said that something about this man committed suicide hanging himself in the closet. Mm. And so they hung the skeleton in the closet to scare her. And when she opened the closet and saw that, she liked to pass out. She sold the house and got out, and she just moved right on out of it. I mean, she really took off. And so she sold it to Aunt Amy, Berman's aunt. Well, Aunt Amy thought it was all a big joke. And to this day, they call that the spookiest house because Aunt Amy swears she's seen skeletons and she's seen heard noises and all this, you know, in the house. But in Mrs. Payne's, it was Mrs. Payne's husband's grandfather that was supposed to have been hung in the house. And And when she found that out, she didn't want anything to do more with the house.
Mm-hmm.
But that, now that was, I don't know how much of a coincidence it was that they came to Florida and had to buy that house and then come to find out he had owned it.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Shelley, I was listening to what you said, but my mind was wandering.
Uh-huh.
I got problems.
What's the matter?
Well, son, it's very simple. It's the same problem you had with your garden. Except over here, I don't have a garden, but them armadillos, there's not any meadowlarks anymore, or bobwhites. Them ground doves is all gone. Why, it used to, like in here, you could just, we were sitting here, you could hear those meadowlarks and the bobwhites this time of year, you see. Oh, they just noisy.
Well, what happened to them?
Well, them armadillos just go around and eat everything on the ground.
Is there that many of them?
My goodness, these walls of them things.
I thought we had them all over our place.
Though. Martin brought me some petunias and some other kind of flowers home and set them out, and them rascals goes out there and digs them up like hogs at night.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what it is.
They're terrible.
They eat eggs. They eat little bitties.
They slaughtered my garden. I've replanted and replanted and replanted till I'm sick of replanting. Oh. And now the weeds are about to take over the whole garden. So I'm
and one of them cannot run a horse.
They can really travel.
You money right. I wish people would hunt them and kill them and eat them.
Eat them?
Because if so many people does eat them, yes ma'am. Pat and Julia eat them.
Say it, I mean.
Wayne?
I
want to ask you, did your kids say anything about a rat being at school yesterday?
A rat?
I carried my car over to Mr. Middleton's to get him to service it. And Edgar come up and said he was going home. Said the darkest was raising Rufus down there and he wasn't going to be into it. He's going home to go fishing. And do you know where the trash dump was by the road? Well, right on down from there, you know there's a road that turns in. There's a nigga man there.
Yeah, on Highway 20.
Yeah. Just before you get to the school.
Yeah.
And he threw up his hand and hollered at me and said, "Hello there!" And they just kept going.
They didn't say anything about it. They're so common over there now, they hardly ever mention it.
Oh, really?
Yes, there's so much disturbance over there. And anything like, you know, Wallace getting shot and the riots they had in Gainesville, anything like that happens, and they start tearing up over here in these schools.
Yeah.
It starts with these college age, and then it comes down to these first graders.
Yeah.
All the way down.
Well, I tell you, Don't give me any of that. I wish
with all my heart that I'd been born at least 40 years ago.
This is a long time.
So that all my kids have been all out of school right now, and I could just let the
really
world go by.
I hit it right
in the nose, I tell you.
That's right.
And here Tommy is. He'll be the only one in the elementary school. I had two in the elementary, two in the middle, and one in high school. Now I'll have one in the elementary, two in the middle school, and two in high school. See, they move up.
Yeah.
And I'd feel much better if Tommy was over here in the middle school, or if one of them was back over in the elementary school.
What do you do about them, the armadillos? Do you eat them?
No, sir. I wouldn't eat one of them stinking things.
You haven't tried one?
No, sir.
They're like chicken.
They got a bad gopher. No, sir. I ain't going to eat near piece of them unless I'm food on it. And then, if I get food on it, I'm going to whip the one that's food. I ain't going to eat them.
Well, how do you get them?
Sure.
Is it when do you see them? I don't see them.
Late afternoons.
Well, oh, can you see them in the afternoon?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
They're hungry enough to come out in the afternoon, but they usually come out at night, don't they? Or ours do, anyway.
I see 3 and 4. Yeah, about every time I go in the pasture.
Oh, really? Is that right?
You walk right up on the rascal.
Well, after a spring rain,
they dig a hole so deep, and the head will be down in there. And I do left running. Turn one over.
You don't kill them?
No.
Boy,
can you catch them?
Marvin caught 4 one time.
Yeah, the, Tina, we were out, the kids like to take the bows and arrows and go out and kill them. And Tina shot one in the side, like this, you know. It was running along like this, and she shot it in the side. No, I beg your pardon. She shot it in the rump, and it was going down the hole like this. They had shot it. One shot it in the side, one shot it in the rump like this. Well, he went down to go down the hole, and the one that was shot it had shot it in the side kept it from going down into the hole. And Tina went along there and grabbed him by his tail, and already, you know, he got his front feet down into that dirt, and once they get their grip on that front, those front feet, you can't hardly pull them out of the hole. And he had gotten down far enough that she was in arm's length like this, holding on to his tail. And we were way back. We were way back. The kids had already ran ahead of us and found this armadillo, and they were trying to kill it. And she said, "Mr. Dodd! Mr. Dodd! Help Mr. Dodd!" She wouldn't let that thing go for nothing. There could have been a rattler or something down in that hole. But she had a hold of that tail, and she wasn't about to let him go because he had her arrow. That was the last arrow she had.
Oh, he had her arrow. Mm.
The one that went in sideways broke off.
Uh-huh.
But the one that went into the rump, she wanted to get that arrow out, and she couldn't. It had the hunting arrow, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they get down into them, you have to get them out, almost cut them out.
Uh-huh.
So she, all she could do is to hold on to the tail and try to pull them out of there.
When you supposing that's going to take place?
And she couldn't get them out.
Definitely.
I think he and the dogs and the kids went and got a shovel.
He's still here.
And all that to get
we've
that armadillo out. Boy,
I mean, is what he's home now on vacation.
He probably got an arrow.
Not that I know of.
Boy, she got hard. Mr. Dog, you can hear it all
if
over.
Yes, he just
thought she'd gotten on
a little dip. He stays down there.
I thought I heard somebody say he was home more on vacation.
Yeah, he came home once, I think, but it's all. Well, she pretty brave.
Tina?
Yeah.
Well, this kid would do anything, you know, out there hunting for the sport of it. And here they've got you take a bow and an arrow, and it's hard, it's quite difficult to hit anything,
sure.
Or it is for me, but they can hit pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And her and Bonnie were walking around with his bow and arrow, and Johnny and the boys was going off in another direction, and Vernon and I were following them behind. And the dogs, of course, was running around through the woods trying to find an armadillo. Well, they'd scared this one up, and they were determined to kill it. But when they didn't kill it, it had her arrow, and it was going down the hole. The only thing she could do was grab for that tail. You know,
did
she
ever say anything about her property back there in back of me? You know.
No. No, never.
Well, how in the world did they ever expect to get back that tail?
Can they go in through Faye's driveway and on around that way?
Mm-mm.
Yours divides hers. Yours.
Mine lies between her and her property.
Yeah. I don't know. Faye swears she's going to build a house back in there, but she's going to school in September.
Yeah.
She's got high hopes of graduating about the same time Johnny does. For me, I'd forget it. But
well, how in the world is she ever going to get back and forth?
I don't know. And drive the school bus.
Yeah.
I mean, no, get in
there.
Oh, you
didn't get in there? I don't know. She's got too many other things to think about, and I don't think she's, gosh, you're going to have to find out, though, when you sell it to that fella. He may have to give her a right away.
No, he won't either. He certainly will not. I ain't gonna give her one.
Well, how else can she get out of there?
You know what calling Glisten's got
the
road
chopped
up?
That's right. There's supposed to be a roadway all the way back through there.
Absolutely.
That's right. So he'll have to give her the right of way.
Well, he says he ain't gonna do it, but
he'll have to because of the law.
He bought not one time that he would. And George said he didn't want it. He didn't need it.
Well, the law will see to it that these people that's got the ground, you know, if anybody buys a piece of ground in the back like that, they see to it that those people have got a right of way in one way or another.
And what they'll do
is open up that road that used to be a road.
That's what they ought to do.
Because it's in between your property and his, isn't it? Isn't that roadway running down between your property and his?
That's right.
So that what they'll do is open up that roadway.
What does she want to go to school for?
She has no idea. Just so that she can make more money when it comes to making money.
They pay a little more
she thinks the more the school, the more schooling she has, the better education she has, the more they'll pay her. She had an argument with Geraldine. Geraldine says, well, now you can get a job that means a little something to you. It doesn't take all day to do it. And you don't have to work half as hard as you used to. And not have all that time in your education and still come out ahead. Geraldine tried to tell her this. And she disagrees. She said, why make 200 if I can make 400? So she's going to go ahead with her education. She's not thinking of what it's going to cost her now and her family.
Yeah. Her
transportation going back and forth. Once you've got a family, you might as well me go to school, I can just forget it.
Oh, I've seen that so much. They just let the family go.
An education wouldn't mean that much to me anymore. It would have at one time, but not anymore.
Well, now, she helps her mama.
Well, she did. I don't think she's doing that now as much.
Not so much?
No. She's got a double schedule, you see, on the bus. She's got a double run, so that takes up too much of her time. But still, between driving that school bus, I don't see how she can keep up a home and cook and everything for the family.
Yeah.
And think about going to school.
In other words, that school bus is working her more than it ever did before.
Yeah.
Is she getting any more for it?
I think she is. She's getting a certain amount for so many miles, I think, that they drive. Oh. I think it's according to how many miles they're driving or how many children's on the bus, or it's all taken into consideration.
Yeah.
But now they're having a summer program over to the school, and it burns me up to think about this. But it's a Head Start program for all the little nigger kids, you know, to read. Well, two of my children need the program very badly. All right, so I signed them up for the Head Start program to see if it'll work. If it doesn't, I can take them out. If they're the only two white children going over there, they're not going to want to go, and I'm not going to want them to go. So what I'll do is see how it works at the beginning. But I think my only two are the only two going from our location, from our address. So that means that Faye would drive that bus on through the summer months and pick up my two and take them to school, and then they could make another trip and go back after them at the end of school and bring them back home. And it's all to the expense of the taxpayer. Now, they're not only doing that for my two children, but they're doing it all around. You see, all the buses will be continuing going through the summer months. That's three extra months of taxpayers' money they've got to pay them in order for these Head Start children to go.
Two and three.
Yeah. And most of them, I think, will be the colored children. And the colored children are entitled, those underprivileged, or the families aren't making as much. They're entitled to free breakfast and free dinner while they're over there. That's also a taxpayer.
Miss Miles, I believe I'm going to have two familias.
Oh, you are.
Mm-hmm. Two.
Mm-hmm.
They going to live?
I believe they are. They're pretty and green and got the prettiest buds.
Well, aren't they late and blooming?
Well, see, they're not. It's some that she gave me, and I stuck them down in some builder's sand.
Mm-hmm. And they're living.
They're living now.
Mm-hmm. From these.
Well, I don't know how long did you tell me it took 6 weeks?
No, I just don't know. But if
they
still...
mouthful. He's got a mouthful, you see.
They still in.
He just dropped it.
Now he's still full, he can't eat
anymore.
Look
at that, see, he's getting his mouth full.
Okay. He's going to throw some red belly back there. Is that a male?
He wants to get a little bit more.
Female, isn't it?
The male said it was a solid redhead, isn't it? Or is it? Am I wrong?
Didn't we think that
where could we get some good mullet?
Hmm.
Mullet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The only place I know is it. They don't sell it over the creek?
No mullet that I know of.
That fish truck doesn't bring mullet out?
I don't know.
I used to buy it on 8th Avenue there.
It's been a long time.
Some mullet so bad.
I tell you what, I quit buying it when they quit. You know, they don't have them all the time, do they? Anyhow, they didn't have them there for a while, and I haven't started back buying them. We used to have regular. We'd go by there. I'll stop and see.
There's big truck comes by here. I think Bessie buys it.
I want a mess of mullet so bad. Marvin said, I fixed his lunch yesterday, didn't come and didn't bring his lunch box. I said, where's your lunch box? He said, I didn't eat my dinner. I said, how come you didn't eat your dinner? He said, we had a fish fry. I said, why in the world didn't you slip me a piece or two?
Yeah.
In your lunch box,
yeah.
And bring it home to me.
Yeah.
I do love good mullet. I want good mullet.
How you season it?
How do I season it? I salt it and meal it and fry it.
That's all.
That's right.
I wish I could fry fish.
She's making me, boy, she can make some of the best fish.
Oh.
Mm. Fries are just as crisp.
You reckon they sell them at McNookin? Do they sell mullet at McNookin?
Mr. Thrasher used to have them on
certain days.
Certain days.
Mm-hmm.
You can call him. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He used to. I don't know whether he's keeping it now or not because I haven't asked.
Oh, there was some objection. The health authorities got after them. They didn't have the right equipment to keep in the stores.
Ooh.
Something or other.
Ooh.
But there wasn't anything wrong with it.
Well, fish is important to keep, you know, at the right temperature. If you don't, it can pick up bacteria so easily.
I think, don't you know, you used to go by there and say, Mr. Thrasher, set that little blackboard out there with mullet. I've seen it.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't thought about it.
One day a week.
Mm-hmm.
That was.
But
he doesn't carry a fish at all over to Bill Benning over here at Freeman.
No, just the frozen. But,
looks like he would do good to carry a few fresh fish in there once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that?
Of course, I'd cut him down on his beef and pork one.
Mm-hmm. Denny.
Bill Benning.
John Henry. Now, you've talked to him, but not long at a time.
No, he's...
Now, you've not even talked to him for years, have you?
For John Henry? No, I haven't seen him lately.
He's just satisfied with what he does.
I got a bull calf. Did I tell you about that? I think it was a bull calf.
Got it hung.
A heifer hung in that chute.
Yeah.
And I stopped there to get Virgil to come down, because usually I yell for Virgil if I can't do anything myself. If I'm in trouble and I need some help or need a heavy hand, you know, go down and get Virgil. Virgil was out on the lake, so John Henry says, Mrs. Boatnight says, go help her. Well, if it hadn't been for her, I don't think John Henry cared less. But anyhow, John Henry got in the truck and he says, I'll help you. So I went up, turned around. He jumped over the fence, got in the truck, and we went down there. And he says, well, what you want me to do? I said, just pick up the legs there in the back and kind of give him a heave toward the front, you know, and I'll open that, pull the chute open. And he reached out. That guy is strong.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow, is he strong. He just, just like he was a feather. Here I'd struggle with that calf for 2 hours and I couldn't get it up off the ground. I almost broke his tail trying to raise him up. And I thought I'd build, you know, keep putting boards or something underneath there until he got up in the air. I thought about everything. I thought about putting a board across under his stomach and then get a jack and jack him up.
Why, Shirley?
I was desperate. I knew if he stayed there long, he would break his back, you know, crack his back. So John Henry came down there, and he just picked up his legs, and that bull went right on through and walked right on off. John Henry got back in the truck, and I zoomed him home, and he was home when all that happened in about 3 minutes flat. He wastes no day, no time at all. With But I was sure tickling.
Hey, you know how to get off the place, except to put fish on.
That's the first time I think he's ever been on our place. George has never been down there. Mrs. Boatnight has. Virgil comes down every now and then. And Faye and Donald and all of them come down, but George has never been down there. Oh, I'm coming, though. He says, I'm coming. But he never gets there. And John Henry. All this time, you see, we've been there, and he's never been down there.
But John Henry's well enough.
But John Henry says, Jesus, you really done wonders with this place. First time he's been down there.
Look at that.
Just up the laneway, a few hundred feet.
Well, I stopped there one day with Faye, and she got some fish, and he was out there. He just talked a blue streak, didn't he?
Sometimes he will. Sometimes he goes on so fast it's hard to keep up with him to understand what he says. George, I can't understand. Can you understand half of what he says?
No. One day I was sitting there and the preacher comes. And George had on them shorts. He was barefoot, no shirt. And that preacher said, looked at him, and George got to telling him about the Bible, and he had business to get going. So I couldn't understand him.
George started telling the preacher about the Bible.
Oh, yeah, he knew more than the preacher
did.
But he couldn't understand it. He
couldn't understand him. And that preacher left there.
Well, one day right after we had moved there, George says, he was rattling on and on to me, you know, I couldn't get one word out of it, you know. Every now and then I thought I could recognize one word. And he says, he was talking about me. And, of course, that was right. I think Daniel.